Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Welcome back. In summer 2021, Bob Putnam and Sherry Lucas, also known as Sherry Danger, announced that the Way Out Club, a St. Louis institution in South City that they'd started and run for 27 years, was closing. They joined our show to talk about what made the Way Out Club so much more than a bar with eclectic music, performances, and patrons. And while it did host national acts, what made the space so beloved was Sherry and Bob's embracing local artists, especially those who were doing a thing that needed a place to be shared. Peter Bolte is a filmmaker, but in the mid to late 90s, when the Way Out Club was young, Peter was a local college student and young experimental artist trying to gain traction in the St. Louis area.
I don't remember quite which one of our crew kind of found the Way Out Club. And well, immediately, the atmosphere, their energy, Bob and Sherry, just, it was what we were seeking. Somebody that, like, even if they didn't quite understand what they did, they fully respected it and gave us that platform to do so. And even to this day, that's rare to have somebody champion artists on that level.
During Bob and Sherry's interview together on St. Louis on the Air, they said the chief reason they started the Way Out Club was their desire to spend more time together doing what they love. That also played a part in their decision to close the club. That and a medical diagnosis. Bob was in the early stages of Alzheimer's disease. And on August 26th, Sherry Lucas posted a photo of Bob smiling broadly on a sunny, sandy beach. The caption gave the dates of Bob's birth and his passing. And to date, that post has 581 comments and 153 shares with moving comments of their own. Bob's life overflowed with love for the arts, for creating community, for his beloved wife, Sherry. And in keeping with that spirit and to celebrate those loves, we welcome Bob's partner, Sherry Lucas. Sherry, thank you for coming back to St. Louis on the Air.
My pleasure.
And I'm so sorry for your loss and genuinely honored that you are joining us to remember him with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to talk about Bob.
So let's begin with the arts and all the forms of arts that Bob pursued before we get to, you know, some of the ways that you and he supported them. In what ways was Bob himself a maker of art?
I think you have to go back to when Bob was growing up in Indiana, and he tells me one of the first things he did was he worked all summer, saved his money to buy a ticket to the Indiana Jazz Festival. Mm-hmm. And here he was, a young boy of 10, 11, 12, and he did that on his own, and that kind of informed everything that he did. He was really into art. He was into music. When I met him, he was on Del Mar. He had a bookstore, mm-hmm. 20th Century Books. But before that, he had a mail order bookstore that he operated in his basement, and he called it Peter Whiffle. And Peter Whiffle comes from a story by an author that he really liked, Carl Van Vechten. Mm-hmm. And he started open mic poetries, carrying this little PV amp and this mm-hmm. microphone around. I had to make a list of everything that Bob has done. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last job that he had, Zumba instructor. I know.
And was he introduced to that by you?
Yes, yes. He was coming to my classes, and at that point in time, Zumba was really hot, and it showed a bunch of people jumping around and bouncing, and it was like, and then they introduced a senior Zumba, Zumba Gold. And I'm like, I'm getting licensed. Bob, why don't you come with me? And he did. Mm-hmm. He got his license. And we introduced Zumba Gold to the Carondelet Y. We were like the first instructors.
Mm-hmm. And when was that?
Oh, my goodness. It was pre-pandemic, mm-hmm. so about 8 years before that.
Yeah.
2012, 13,
14,
yeah.
And so as I'm picturing you and Bob bouncing around doing Zumba Gold,
yeah.
How is it that you and he came to be a couple? Was art somewhere, you know, part of that mix? Is that what drew you to one another?
So Bob had tattoos, but he had tattoos of famous artwork. And when I met Bob, I said, oh, that's Picasso. And apparently, where Bob was working at Chrysler, hardly anybody recognized a Picasso. So when I said, oh, Picasso, his eyes flew open. And he said he'd already noticed me, but that was it.
Mm-hmm. So he was putting art on his body, which you noticed. He noticed you. Then you eventually get together as a couple.
Right.
And you started the Way Out Club. So when you began that, you wanted to spend more time together. How did that turn out?
Oh, it was great. It was great. I met Bob toward the latter half of his career, and it was just beginning a career for me. And we made the decision to do something together, right? Not to have me go in and work 8 hours one place, him do something, and then, you know, try to find time after work on the weekends, that we would actually create a life together. And so the bar was just the perfect opportunity mm-hmm. for us to work together, which worked out great, and for us to be together.
And during the time that you ran this bar, mm-hmm. which, again, it was more than just a bar. It was a community space. Did you run into people who knew Bob from other community spaces throughout the city?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Bob never called it a bar. He called it a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little tip of the hat to him and his love of the 20s and the 30s, right? Mm-hmm. A nightclub. So if he heard me call it a bar today, he'd say, nightclub. It's yeah. a nightclub.
Well, and people called him Barroom Bob, though, right?
Well, see, that's another aspect of Bob. So from the bar, of course, we knew the people from Del Mar, from his bookstore. Before that, he and I had done theater reviews for Intermission magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that collection of people. The open mic poetry at several venues, the Venice Cafe, the mm-hmm. Wabash Triangle, Mocha Bees, Mangia. So there are a lot of different places that a lot of different people came from. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Bob was a magnet. Bob was the guy. When he was in Del Mar, he started a little broadsheet with some friends, and it was a broadsheet on the arts. And this is in the time when before internet, and so what do? You print up a zine. So he had this broadsheet with friends, and they called it PMS
mm-hmm.
for the founders, Bob Putnam.
Uh-huh.
Maria Massey mm-hmm. and Debbie Stoddard, PMS.
Right, right.
And that was his first foray into, like, putting together a magazine. But, you know, Bob was the glue. He was the one that people would be like, oh, we ought to do something. And Bob would be like, yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. So the magazine came about. And later, Bob and I put together a magazine. We called it 15 Minutes. But Bob was always the person that people would bring ideas to.
In my searching through some of the comments that people left, one of them came from Chris Gunter, who said that Bob had a deep and abiding respect for artists that gave their all and kept their word. Bob also had a great deal of faith in people, allowing us to try every crazy kind of production you could dream of. And Lacey Rush wrote, I first met Bob and Sherry at Manja in 1992. And this was addressed to Bob. You were funny and kind and had the best laugh. Even though I was some shy kid from Arnold, you always clapped when I worked at the Nerve to read something on stage at the Wabash. Thank you for loving St. Louis as much as you did. We will certainly miss you.
Mm.
So hearing these comments that people have left, what does this make you think about? You know, where do you see in your mind's eye Bob?
I see Bob as this person that helps so many people find their dreams, find their goals. I like to say that personally, I was an introvert, and Bob made me an extroverted introvert,
mm-hmm.
because there'd be things I'd hesitate to do, and Bob would be like, you can do that. You can do that. You should do that. And I don't know how many things he talked me into as I was talking myself out of. One of them was doing a radio show at KDHX.
Mm-hmm.
I almost talked myself out of it, and he was like, you can do this. Yeah, there are a lot of things in my life that Bob was the reason I later went on to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he had that effect on other people. You know, I like to think that when we were publishing our magazine, 15 Minutes, and Bob was upstairs with James Gunn, and James Gunn was, you know, providing his cartoons for our magazine, and Bob was talking to him, I know Bob was talking about B-movies,
mm-hmm.
B-movie directors, and I like to think that Bob was the little spark that got James Gunn even to turn around toward filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
so these influences.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking with Sherry Lucas, who is the wife of Bob Putnam. Bob passed away on August 26th. He was diagnosed with Alzheimer's during the latter part of the pandemic, and we're here remembering Bob. So, Sherry, one of the things that people have left among those many condolences are posts that refer to you and Bob as, you know, couple or relationship goals. And again, you started the Way Out Club, which was first on Cherokee and then moved to Jefferson and Gravois, to spend more time together. And this was even though you had worked together at Chrysler. And the decision to close the club came about so that you could do that same thing, to spend time with each other because of the Alzheimer's diagnosis. Sherry, what memories did you and Bob make together in the 3 years after the Way Out Club's closure?
Wow. You know, I can say this, that Alzheimer's is a horrible disease, and it strips a lot from the person. But as it started changing Bob, he would always still smile, no matter how hard it got for him. I was thinking back to when the pandemic happened and we had to close the business. And that was like the preface to closing the business all the way. But all the time that I got to spend with Bob, I really, really cherished that, because we would take walks and notice how many cars parked in front of the house. And Bob would walk our cat. Our cat will walk in a stroller, so he'd put the cat in the stroller, and I'd have my hula hoop, and I learned how to hula hoop and walk. And we'd just walk all over the place. And then we'd spend time in our backyard, and I would play audiobooks. And we would share that time in the backyard, just sitting underneath the tree in the shade, listening to audiobooks. So I have a really, really good remembrance of those early years of his diagnosis. And, you know, I'm just grateful, even in the latter part of his diagnosis, that I was able to keep him home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Bob was beloved. And this Sunday, September 29th, from 2 to 6 p.m., there will be a celebration of his life at the Tap Room. Who is this celebration for, Sherry?
For everyone that loved Bob, for me, for his friends, for the people that he touched, that he influenced over the years. Yeah.
What will be happening that day?
Well, I'm hoping to have some of his friends get up and read. He was really into poetry and open mic, and so I'm hoping to have some friends get up and read some of their works, some of his favorite authors. I'm hoping to have some musicians play. Some people speaking, talking about Bob and the influence he had on their life.
Will there be a dress code of any kind?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, because I'm asking that everyone wear a Hawaiian shirt, which Bob just loved to wear and had dozens of, or if you wear a bowling shirt, because he had a bunch of those that he loved to wear. Or if you want to wear your Way Out Club t-shirt, that's appropriate too.
Yeah. Someone with a Facebook name, Ken Rose, wrote, "R.I.P. Bobo, the party in heaven just got much better." And it ends with an exclamation mark. So Sherry, as you think about that party, who is part of it and what makes it thoroughly Bob?
Well, I know there's going to be rock and roll. I know there's going to be Bob doing the Bob-o-lator. Our friends that have passed. Yeah, I don't want to have thought about rock and roll heaven, but, you know, Bob's going to be dancing. He's going to be having a big party. He's celebrating. Like he always did. He always celebrated. He was always the first guy on the dance floor and the last guy off. You know, I wanted to share a memory with you because I was thinking, like, the things I remember about Bob. And once, I was many times the person that drug Bob. So I'm like, let's get bicycles, Bob. And he's like, okay. So I got his bicycles, and we started riding, and we'd ride to the landing for 4th of July and Labor Day. And I remember one time we rode to the landing. We're at the bottom of the hill, and we have our bicycles, and we're going to go up to the top where the music is.
Mm-hmm.
And I get off my bicycle and start walking my bike up the hill. Bob is on his bicycle, and he starts pedaling and pedaling and pedaling. He doesn't downshift. His wheels aren't going woo, 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 super fast. This is on the landing, bottom to top. He's pedaling. I'm walking beside him. I'm like, Bob, you're really going to ride that? He's like, yep. And he keeps pedaling and pedaling. And it's like at least a block, maybe two blocks up the steep hill. And he's on this bicycle just and hardly breathing, right? He's not, no, he's just steady, pressing the pedals down and climbing this hill. And when we get to the top, I'd been so fixated on Bob, I didn't notice everybody around us was watching. And he got this amazing applause
oh
and
my
cheer.
Goodness. Yeah.
And that is one of my most cherished memories of Bob, climbing that hill from the bottom to the top without shifting gears, just steady grinding up that hill. And then all those people cheering him when he got to the top.
That is a beautiful memory.
Yeah. He was a special guy. He brought out the best in me. I am so lucky to have a man like that, that I look back, he genuinely adored me. He adored me. He encouraged me. I'm pulling it into myself. He encouraged me, but I know he encouraged so many other people.
Sherry Danger Lucas is the wife and life partner of Bob Putnam. Bob was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in the latter part of the pandemic and passed away on August 26th. A celebration of his life will be held at the Tap Room from 2 to 6 p.m. on Sunday, September 29th. Sherry, thank you so much for talking with us about Bob and sharing some of those really poignant memories and all the love that made him such a cherished friend for many generations of St. Louisans.
My pleasure to talk about my Bob, Bobo.
Today's segment was produced by Aula Kuziz.
And by Elaine Cha. Edited by Maya Norfleet. Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.